21st, in the wake of mass violence, one sentiment is commonly expressed. Here's Wayne LaPierre, the head of the NRA, speaking in the aftermath of the Sandy Hook school shooting.
We do everything we can to keep our children safe. It's now time for us to assume responsibility for our schools. The only way to stop a monster from killing our kids is to be personally involved and invested in a plan of absolute protection. The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Well, that theory has picked up support in both political and academic circles. There is a strong body of research that shows that it may not be true.
John J. Donahue is a professor at the Stanford Law School and is also an economist. He uses empirical and data-focused research to look at issues including crime and criminal justice. And he was one of the lead authors on the recent study done by the National Bureau of Economic Research on whether more people with guns leads to increased public safety. John, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be with you.
What do we know about where public opinion stands on the idea that more guns and easier access makes us safer?
Well, there seems to be quite a bit of difference on this, in part reflecting some of the political differences in the country at large. So many states have now adopted statutes that are very permissive in being allowed to carry guns outside the home. And then states such as California, where I live, and New York, and a number of other states are much more restrictive. And that's a very tense both political and judicial debate at this moment.
And I'm guessing that there might also be differences between people who are gun owners and people who are not. I'm thinking of a recent Pew study that says 2/3 of gun owners say protection is a major reason why they own that firearm.
Yeah, clearly in the United States, many people think they will be safer with guns. Interestingly, in other countries that are more restrictive, that attitude is much less widespread.
Well, let's cut right to the chase. According to this new study, of which you were one of the lead authors, does the presence of more guns make us safer?
Well, what we did was we looked at 33 states that adopted right-to-carry laws and compared how they did to control states. And what we found is that after about 10 years after adoption of a right-to-carry law, violent crime was 13% to 15% higher than it would have been had the state not adopted right-to-carry laws. So the evidence seems to suggest allowing more concealed carry outside the home contributes to an increase in violent crime.
And what happens in those years between adoption and the point where crime is increasing?
It's sort of a straight trend upwards. Essentially, you're getting about 1% to 1.5% increase in violent crime per year that the right to carry law is in effect, although we did only look for the 10 years following adoption.
You've been quoted as saying that the Wayne LaPierre quote that we heard, that stopping bad guys who have guns is, quote, inaccurate, misleading, and somewhat offensive. Can you explain why you feel that way?
Well, somewhat offensive in that if you remember the horrible shooting of Congresswoman Gabby Giffords in Arizona a number of years ago, she was not stopped by anyone, or the killer was not stopped by anyone with a gun, but was rather stopped by a 74-year-old retired Army colonel who had been shot himself and jumped on top of the shooter when he was reloading. And indeed, if you look at the evidence on this, many more mass shootings are stopped by unarmed individuals than are stopped by individuals carrying concealed handguns. Of course, police are the primary avenue for stopping these mass shootings, and there's no question that armed police and armed security guards do a very good job.
And so in the states where there is the most extensive access to personal firearms and where there are the fewest restrictions on where they can be carried, and you saw this increase in gun violence, what do you attribute that to? How do you tie those pieces together?
Well, it turns out there are many avenues with which guns interact with crime. Of course, the beneficial uses of guns are that they can at times be used to thwart crime or deter crime. So that's the good use. But we've seen just in the last couple of weeks some of the dark uses of guns being carried outside the home. So we saw the case in Pennsylvania where an individual driver was angry that an 18-year-old girl had cut in front of him, he thought, in a merging situation. He pulled out a gun and shot her in the head and killed her. And then about a week and a half ago in Seattle, I believe it was, a man coming back with his wife from a wedding in an Uber got into an argument with his wife and also a concealed carry holder, and he pulled out a gun and shot her in the head. So these are people who almost certainly would not have committed those crimes had they not been allowed to carry a concealed weapon outside the home. So that's one avenue through which things can go wrong. But of course, another very important and major impetus to crime is the fact that concealed carry owners lose and have their guns stolen a lot. They frequently are leaving their guns in cars, and the criminals know this and break into cars and steal the guns and use them for crime themselves or sell them to other criminals. So in a sense, concealed carry holders are often unwittingly arming criminals, and that obviously causes problems for violent crime in the state.
John Donahue is a professor at the Stanford Law School, and he's one of the lead authors on a recent study done by the National Bureau of Economic Research on whether more people with guns leads to increased public safety or not. And John, when did this idea that is held as a fundamental truth for a lot of people, gun rights advocates and others, that this good guy with a gun is the answer to a bad guy with a gun, when did this idea first kind of gain traction?
Well, of course, the United States is awash with guns, and so people are trying to figure out ways how to deal with that problem. And the NRA has been a very effective lobby in this regard. But I think if you look around the country, for example, around the world, for example, to other countries that have struggled with these issues, one sees that it is often far more effective to try to limit the influence of guns in society rather than to propagate that influence.
And John, what have been the trends in the last couple decades, maybe, in states' regulation of personal firearms? What direction are we going in?
Well, I think a lot of the direction at the state level has been towards these more permissive gun laws. And of course, that has had a relatively pernicious effect in the states that have gone down that path. The NRA is currently suing the states that are more restrictive on gun carrying to try to overturn those laws. There's such a lawsuit going on in California right now. And they're also trying to get Congress to pass laws that would allow reciprocity so that you could carry, your gun from another state into, let's say, California, which doesn't permit permissive right to carry. And so those are two ways in which the NRA is trying to overcome the will of the voters in the states that have tried to restrict carrying of guns outside the home.
We're talking about new research that indicates that the good guy with a gun theory is not true. John Donahue was one of the lead authors of the study, which was done by the National Bureau of Economic Research.
And we want to hear what you think at 800-642-1234. What is your reaction to the idea that more good guys with guns can make us all safer? If you support fewer restrictions on who can carry a firearm and where, does this data do anything to change your mind? Where do you think the balance is between the right to own a gun and public safety concerns? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation now about the latest research on whether the presence of more guns makes us more or less safe. John Donahue is a Stanford researcher and was one of the lead authors of a new study.
And we want to know what you think at 800-642-1234. Do you own a gun for protection? Do you feel like you could make the difference in a mass shooting situation? If you don't carry a gun, do you feel more or less safe knowing that people around you may be carrying a firearm? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go to our first caller, Chris in Stevens Point. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just curious. I may have misunderstood, but the study was just looking at the states that have permissible carry or permissible concealed carry and the change in violent crime. I'm wondering if the study also looked at states that don't allow carry and what the change over the same time or maybe about the same time period in their violent crime rates were. A lot of times gun studies to either side tend to pick and choose data that supports their argument, and that's kind of my question.
Yeah, that's a great question, Chris. So, John, can you explain? So you said that about 10 or so years out from these new regulations, you saw an increase in crime. What about crime increases or decreases in the places that didn't make those legislative changes?
Yes, great question. And indeed, as the question suggests, there's a right way to do these statistical analyses and a wrong way. We did look very carefully at what happened across the United States. And just to give you the briefest statistical overview, if you compare violent crime in the states that never adopted right to carry laws from 1977 to the present, they experienced a roughly 45% drop in violent crime over that period. The states that did adopt got about a 9% drop, so much more drop in crime in the states that were more restrictive. And in the analysis that we did, we looked very carefully at relevant control states that had not adopted and compared them over the same 10-year period after the 33 states adopted to see how crime changed after adoption. And the conclusion was quite robust, 13-15% higher rate of violent crime in the 10 years after adoption.
Let's go back to the phones, and Joe in Eagle is up next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how you doing today?
Good.
Good, good. So as I was flipping through the stations, I overheard the professor talking about he doesn't believe that the guns in the hands of civilians and permissible carry would deter crime. And I believe there is studies out there that show completely different. The reason it deters crime is that a criminal would approach somebody and obviously criminal intent, then that victim would display their firearm. Well, those types of events aren't as normally reported as, say, a full-blown shooting incident. So what my point would be hands in or guns in the hands of civilians will deter crime. And I believe that there's 300 million guns right now approximately in circulation, and I believe if guns were a problem, we would have more deaths on our hands than what we do now. Any death, I totally, not condoning shooting, but at the same time, they do help. I believe.
Thanks for that call, Joe. And John, how would you respond to Joe's point that it is a deterrent because criminals don't know who they're up against?
You know, as I said, to really answer the question, you have to look very carefully at the data in a nuanced way. And there are benefits from allowing citizens to carry concealed handguns, and there are also costs, the cost being, you know, some of the examples I was illustrating where people would not have committed a crime had they been restricted from carrying the guns, and also the fact that these guns get lost and stolen, then become available for criminals to use. And also, as we've seen in some unfortunate recent cases, the life of the police officer becomes more challenging when they have to confront armed citizens and sometimes hostile confrontations. We saw that in the Philando Castile case where a right to carry holder was shot 7 times by a police officer who clearly exhibited a great deal of stress and tension as soon as he heard that the guy in the car that he had stopped was carrying a weapon. So if you look at the data overall, whatever benefits you're getting from allowing citizens to carry concealed handguns seem to be more than outweighed by the burdens and costs of allowing citizens to carry concealed handguns.
And John, we have just about 30 seconds left, but very briefly, if more guns don't make us safer, what does?
Good policing is probably the single best public policy initiative that one could initiate. So that's always a good place. And of course, one of the burdens of the financial crisis that emanated at the end of the last Bush administration was that there was a lot of discharge of police and fire officials, and you're sort of seeing crime tick up in part because of that reduction in police forces.
John, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
John J. Donahue is a professor at the Stanford Law School. He was one of the lead authors on the recent study done by the National Bureau of Economic Research that debunked the good guy with a gun theory.